Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is All of It on WNYC. How do we think and talk about criminality and incarceration in the U.S., and specifically here in New York? And when we talk about the justice system, how do we ensure that we're also cultivating understanding about the experience of being incarcerated? These are some of the questions raised by a new multi-channel video installation at the New Museum, the results of a four-year collaboration between artist Melanie Crean. Hi, Melanie.
Hello.
Sean Leonardo. Hi, Sean.
Hello.
And Sable L.C. Smith. Hi.
Hi.
The exhibition is titled Mirror, Echo, Tilt, and it offers a reframing of the way we think about the narratives of incarceration. The title of the show hints at one of its inspirations, a well-known 400-year-old text, Don Quixote. The videos installed in the space, the results of performances the artist developed in workshops with participants who have a variety of experiences within the justice system. Mirror, Echo, Tilt is the New Museum's fourth annual Summer Art and Social Justice Residency and Exhibition, and it's up through October 6th. And I'm so glad to have you guys in studio. So this four-year collaboration, what initially brought you three together? Sable, why don't you take
okay.
that?
Yeah, so basically, I met Melanie at Parsons in 2011 when I was a grad student there, and Melanie's a full-time faculty there. And I guess right after, or maybe a year after I graduated, Melanie shot me an email. Like, I think she had just reread Don Quixote, or read it for the first time, and was like, I'm interested in Don Quixote and criminal justice. And obviously, she was aware of sort of my work in practice. Mm-hmm. So we got together and we started having conversations about how to kind of turn it into maybe the beginnings of a project or a framework. And then we were thinking about performance, and I was like, I know a person we have to contact. And I didn't know Sean personally at that point, but knew of his work, and sent him a cold email. And then we got on the phone, and it all kind of like rapidly came together after that.
So what was it about Don Quixote that made you think that this could be fertile ground for this kind of project?
The idea, I think, that public defamation has been used as a means of social control for so long, and more broadly, how the story of our identity is really written on us from without, and how one might confront the story of that mm-hmm. identity that precedes them and try in some way to tilt it or bend it to something more authentic.
So when you walk into the exhibition, there's a big, large space with one big, large screen, and then smaller screens that are interspersed in the hallway and in the bathrooms and one of the elevators as well. Sean, tell me a little bit about the juxtaposition of that one big projection we see, and then the smaller ones. What was the idea there?
Well, it was really important to us that as viewers came in, that it wasn't going to be such a passive experience, that they would be forced to navigate the physical architecture. And in some respects, when we're mimicking a vignette or having some footage be occupying in the elevator and bathrooms, that also transports you into the space where the filming occurred. Mm-hmm. So that mentally you are actually positioning your body in relation to the bodies that are in the film.
And when you're watching the film, it's funny because I sat in the big room, and I knew I was supposed to go around the corner, but there was something sort of keeping me from going around the corner. I mean, is that sort of intentional, that sense of should I be here, should I not be here? What do you think, Sable?
I think definitely, but also not like about sort of permission of if you should, but how we begin to pay more attention to the effect and sort of impact that architectures that we sort of assume, that we sort of passively accept as like, you know, that like there's ergonomics in how things work, right? So I'm just supposed to twist this and walk through. But sometimes those things have a different type of intentionality or a different type of impact, especially on different bodies, depending on demographic, class, et cetera, et cetera. So paying more attention to what our relationship to an architecture is, and just sort of being aware of those things, sort of, I guess, more of a close looking was kind of the sort of intention around like making sure that the architecture also was an apparent object and kind of character in the exhibition.
Yeah, I wasn't anticipating having to pay attention to my own personal space, but you do.
Mm-hmm.
You do, and because it's dark as well. What were some of the issues that you wanted to have people think about when they look at the videos,
Well, I would actually reframe the question and say that what our intention was that when a person first walks in, that incarceration not be the first thing that enters their mind.
Okay.
So just the opposite. In order to really move closer, more closely to these bodies that are being depicted in the film, what we needed to center first was the humanity present. So how within the confinement of that space, the architecture that is imposing itself on the bodies in that film, how do we first forward something like a gentle gesture, mm-hmm. an intimacy that would feel more familiar to, or I should say, would feel familiar to anyone regardless of their proximity to the prison system?
So the humanity first, and then your thoughts about humanity within incarceration and within the justice system. Okay. Where were these filmed, these videos? Where were they filmed, Melanie?
They were filmed in several decommissioned spaces. The Fulton Correctional Facility in the Bronx on Crotona Park that had recently been decommissioned, I think, 2 years before we got in there and was in the process of being converted into a community center. We also filmed in the former Bronxborough Courthouse that was in the process of being converted, and in Bellevue Hospital, psychiatric hospital that is now used as a homeless shelter. We filmed in an old theater that had been sealed for decades.
Wow.
That was opened up and was going to be used for public programming.
I wonder I'm going to address this to you, what you think this work says about cyclical incarceration.
That's a really good question, and I think that There are kind of like a lot of aspects to the project, and like some things aren't readily apparent, right? When you walk into the exhibition space, and I think for us, that's okay. And that's like a kind of a part of the work. There are these like invisible ways that it sort of touches other things. So a huge part of the project is that there's this curriculum that also has sort of been, that was developed in the sort of workshop development of shooting the film, mm-hmm. That has been used and is currently being used in Recess's assembly program, which is a diversion program, right? And so part of the answer to your question, mm-hmm. right, is like that is a sort of concrete on the ground program that has direct impact, right? And it is like there are numbers that show, right? Like that certain aspects of recidivism and thinking about this program specifically has been already sort of affected. So that's sort of one example, right? But then there's another way where the curriculum, like sometimes participants who have gone through the curriculum also are now being trained to facilitate it themselves, right? And so they can take this knowledge and these sort of methods back to all the spaces that they sort of touch, right? And that has a direct impact, whether they're facilitating it in a formal program or not. So that's sort of one way. And that's a way that like maybe isn't readily sort of apparent on the surface. But yeah.
Sable mentioned assembly. Will you tell our listeners what assembly is?
Absolutely. About 3 years ago, somewhere toward the middle of our process of the film production, we were invited to really think about our workshop process in terms of real change on the ground in conjunction with the Downtown Criminal Court in Brooklyn. And that was still at a time where we had not formalized our process into any sort of lesson plan. And in really quick fashion, we organized a space with the nonprofit Recess. And to put it really quickly, Assembly operates as a diversion program for 16 to 24 years old who have been arrested, misdemeanor charges, and low-level felonies. And rather than have their cases pursued in court, they join us for a 4-week cycle. Afterwards, their cases can be closed and their records sealed so that they avoid an adult record. And what has now become, what has now been formalized into a curriculum follows the same principles, that there is a power to be found when you allow a narrative to be conveyed through the body, that there's often a way that the body can tell the narrative or articulate that narrative in a more truthful manner, in ways that words can't possibly capture. And quite often for our young people, what that is that they've internalized all these messages of criminality from their surroundings from a very young age. So how do we go about undoing those messages? How do we go about freeing someone from the thought that it's just a matter of time before they get arrested?
What's the hardest one to undo? What's the one that's most stubborn?
I think, well, I have to answer that two different ways. I think what we understand or what continues to sadden and frustrate the practitioners and everyone we work with at Assembly is that these messages of devaluing a person, a lack of humanity pervades every space that our young people enter, whether it's school, the streets, their interaction with police, so on, so forth. So there's indirect ways in which they're being told they are not of value. And that leads directly to someone feeling that they might as well, right? Mm-hmm. And so really, to answer your question, what we try to focus on is how much more meaning there is in their narratives. How much more can they think and perceive of themselves so that they're freed of these perceptions and not defined by this pre-existing narrative of criminal.
Yeah, as you go into the exhibit, and I want to talk about the video a little bit more, there's a resource room and lots of really great books to read, but I picked up one of the sheets that says, "What might a future without prisons look and feel like?" Did you come up with this question?
Yeah.
And why was this question an important question?
A lot of people can't imagine what a future without prisons would actually look like. So they think that prisons and the way they are currently established is absolutely necessary as a means of social control. When you ask people, well, you know, what is this prison for? Is it for security? Is it for safety? And prison is not successful in achieving either of those ends. So when you point that out and you ask people to imagine a different possible future, it's very difficult. And now we're at a point in New York when we're talking about closing Rikers Island and moving ahead. So this is a pivotal point in the way we consider justice here. You have a number of people who could think about, well, what might this look like otherwise? What could a restorative practice look like? And how could safety and accountability be maintained and with using restorative practices? But for other people, it's just not possible. So I think you need to kind of exercise that imagination and also then use it as a means to open up a discussion with, okay, so what do we really want? Instead of saying, oh yes, prisons are necessary, what do you really want? Is it safety? Well, how best to achieve that? Is it accountability? Well, how best to achieve that? To imagine a different possible system.
Before I let you go, Sable, for someone who's thinking, yes, I'm gonna go see this, I'm gonna check it out, what's one thing you'd like them to keep in mind?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think that one thing that has always motivated me in thinking about this project in like practical and sort of artistic ways is that, and also thinking about discussions around mass incarceration and criminal justice, is that a space for poetry and the poetic is necessary to be in tandem with those conversations always. So that's the one thing I would say.
My guests have been Melanie Crean, Sean Leonardo, and Sable Elsie Smith. The name of the piece is Mirror, Echo, Tilt at the New Museum. It's up through October 6th. Thank you so much for coming to the studio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Stay with us here at All of It. Mark Maron and Lynn Shelton are up next.